You're listening to another edition of the Wealth Foundation podcast, where we help educate listeners on how to create a solid wealth foundation to build their dreams. And now your hosts.
Welcome back, everyone. We have a really special program today and something new and different and even a first. Once again, we have Mr. Frank Riedel. Welcome back, Frank.
Hey, thank you, Eric. Good to be here.
I'll let you tell everyone the big news because this is something exciting and you were telling me about it earlier today, so I'm really excited for you.
Well, I've received my first couple of cases of my new book, What Keeps You Awake at Night, and something I've been working on for the past year. And it's surprising, you know, how a book that's just a little over 120 pages can take you that long, but it's quite a process, you know, between the digging into some of the details and doing your research and, you know, what goes in the book, what you end up taking back out of the book. But after a year of putting that together, it got published on Amazon just this past week. So people can now go to Amazon, Eric, which is great, and order the book. $24.95 is the price, I believe. And so the title is What Keeps You Awake at Night by Frank Riedel. So it's, I think it's a good book and I'm looking forward to people getting it into their hands and hopefully be able to see it have a positive effect on some people and challenge the way that they think about their financial lives. But the big news, you know, today was opening that first box and seeing about what amounted to about 100 books in that box. It was a heavy box too. And I picked it up and I thought, wow, this just whole project after 1 year got really real all of a sudden as soon as I opened that first box. So I'm excited to get those out to some folks.
Well, congratulations. Definitely those are in order. And I was very fortunate enough to read an advanced copy. After reading this book, I was so refreshed to read a financial book that had nothing. I don't believe there's one reference to a latte anywhere in this book. So thank you very much for that. I can't stand that anymore.
Oh, thank you. And thank you for writing forward, Eric. It did a great job. I definitely, I was very humbled when I read your forward and very excited to put that in the book. So thank you for that.
Yeah, you're welcome. We've been teaching people the principles of creating guaranteed income for life and using the banking policy strategy. What was the reason that you decided to actually write a book about these things?
Now, it really came down to clients and people that I know within the industry. I can't tell you the number of times I've had somebody tell me, man, Frank, this is really good information. You know, you should write this down somewhere. You know, you should put this out somewhere. And you know, I guess I take it for granted because this is what I do for a living. And I understand this information very well, inside out and backwards. And so a lot of times I think I'm able to help people understand complex subjects in a very simple, concise manner. And so whether it's a client or a colleague or somebody else, you know, that I've met, as I'm walking through something, a lot of times, you know, I guess looking back at it now, what I was doing was, you know, I'll give a little bit of information over here, a little bit of information over there, a little clarity here, a little clarity there. And I think what I finally heard was people saying, hey, listen, you should put this out there for the masses and let more people than just, you know, this person on this appointment and this person on this other appointment hear this. You need to get this out to a wider audience. So I started making notes and kind of, you know, Eric, I pushed the whole book idea aside really for quite a while. I know there was maybe about a 2 or 3 year period that went by where we were talking about a book and thinking about a book, but I really didn't want to take time out of my days to write a book. So eventually it just piled up. It just piled up around me. I had a lot of notes, a lot of things written down. I had written a number of white paper articles and things like that. In the past, I've been fortunate to write a couple of magazine articles in the industry. And it just started maybe coming together at that point. The pieces, the outline of the puzzle, you might say, were starting to fall in place. And I looked at the whole thing and said, you know, maybe it's time. I ran the idea past a few people. And with my busy schedule, it made it kind of difficult. I really had to try to write this on evenings and weekends. So it did take up, and this is why, another reason why I took a year, because not only do you do a lot of research, you put a lot into the book, you end up taking a lot back out. But, you know, my writing time was really evenings and weekends, and it was a few hours here and a few hours there. It wasn't like I had all kinds of time to sit in front of a keyboard. So that's kind of maybe where the idea started and how we got to that first stage.
I know it definitely takes a lot to pour your heart and soul into taking that mental information and translating it onto something that's permanent and that you can hold in your hands. What was the thought process as you were trying? I mean, how did you formulate it? How did you decide to lay it out? And I'll tell people it's a very easy read, but it also has a lot of content to it. So rather than putting up a bunch of Excel spreadsheets or graphs and illustrations, maybe expand upon how you wrote it and what went into that.
Well, yeah, great question, Eric. So I read a lot of financial books, unfortunately. I mean, that may really tell you how boring I can be, but I do get a lot of books and that I purchase and pick up, and people give to me constantly books. So what I have seen and there are a lot of good ones out there, a lot of really great books, but what I've seen in so many books was what I would call too much information. You know, you get there, information overload or a saturation point. Now, I'm in the industry. I understand the terms, the terminology. I understand the facts and figures and what something looks like when you show an analysis. I get that. Some people don't. So when I read that, there are times in some books where I read some really heavy analysis and I think, wow, you know, I'm in the industry. I understand this. I eat it and drink it, you know, every day. But it seems dry to me. And if it seems dry to me, how's it going to seem to somebody who isn't in that industry and doesn't really understand all that? So I've talked with a few people as sounding boards, and, you know, over the years, Eric, I won't name anybody else's books, but I've had a few other books that I've handed out to people and I said, hey, read this. And, you know, hoping that it would help them. And shockingly, I had people coming back to me saying, I really hated that book. And I one book in particular really kind of surprised me, because the guy was the client came to me, was very, very interested in the subject matter. I knew of a book by another author, and I knew it was a well-written book, a really good book. It was a little bit heavy on the analysis, but I thought, you know, all right, you know, I put these two things together, this client with this book, he's going to get a lot out of it, and we'll see where it goes. He came back to me short time after, and he said, I hated it. And it really took me back. And I said, well, tell me what you hated about it. And he started breaking down in micro details the analysis on every page. Go to page 37, go to page 25, go to page 60. And I said, well, hold on. I don't, number one, don't have really time to debate you on every page that this particular author, you know, had put in his book, but I do see your point. Your point is that there was a little too much analysis. And I think sometimes what happens with the analysis, Eric, is that if you go too heavy on analysis, you end up losing in some ways the flow of trying to convey a message. You know, a nonfiction writer, for instance, would say that you're messing up the flow of the story if it were like a novel, for instance. But in a book like this, a financial book, you're really disrupting the flow. You're disrupting the flow of it because you're trying to get a message across, you know, starting with point A and B and ending at the end. So in a case like this book, the flow really, it was important to me. And so you mentioned something, and I'll just hit on that for a second. You had mentioned the fact that it's an easy read. I tried really hard to make it an easy read. As I mentioned, it's about 124 pages. I think I wrote over 250 pages over that year. But you end up, you know, they talk about, you know, what hits the cutting room floor. There's always a lot of stuff. And I started realizing myself, even though I was conducting a flow-minded book that was really about flow and not about just overload of data, I even realized myself that I was putting in too much analysis and too much data into the book, to the point where I read it and I didn't like it. And so I asked my wife and started with her, and then it started out with some colleagues, and Erica, you were one, to start eyeballing the book and tell me, you know, number one, what you get out of it, and if you could see anything that needs to maybe be corrected. And as we started shifting the focus and attention, I started pulling things back out. And so this easily could have been a 250-page book. You know, fortunately, it turned out to be about 124, 125 pages. But it's much more concise now. So now we have a very even flow, a nice flow that you can read through. And I actually tried to weave in some humor into it, and is which something you don't see in most financial books, any kind of humor, because it's such a serious subject. But I wanted this book to be something where if you were financially minded and understood facts and figures and numbers really, really well, and this was your forte, you could read the book and actually get something out of it. But if you were the opposite of that, I wanted you to be able to read the book and get something out of it. So the flow was very, very important to me.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. And I think you nailed it perfectly where a lot of people get frozen, what do they say, paralysis by analysis. And I mean, unless you're a CPA or someone, if this book had, I mean, the other book you're referring to had an Excel spreadsheet course to go along with it, I hear exactly what you're saying, where people say, well, what are you giving me homework here? Mm-hmm. And this is definitely not that. But I've also seen on the opposite side that I listened to one of these latte books that I referred to earlier on audiobook, and it was probably a good 5 to 8 hours, but it was so simple and there was no meat to it, and you could have summarized it in one paragraph. But this isn't that book, so I congratulate you on your efforts, and I think you did a really good job. So if someone wanted to pick this up, you have it on physical, digital, what kind of copies, and where would they go to get that?
Well, the best place, I think the number one place to start is Amazon. I know that the publisher that I'm working with is now working on publishing this on a number of other book sites. But for right now, it's very prominently displayed on Amazon. And there is a physical book as well as an ebook. And so if somebody, you know, wanted to have a copy of that, feel free to do that. We will have the book listed on hurricanefinancial.com, my company site, probably within the next 2 weeks or so. I wanted to make sure we had enough copies in here before we listed that. Amazon has plenty, but we needed to make sure we had our share so that we didn't have people ordering the book and be short, because we have a lot of clients that we deal with on a one-on-one basis, and we'll be handing out books very frequently to clients as they come in the office. So making sure we had plenty on hand, I think, was the reason I held back on that a little bit. But I would start with Amazon.
Perfect. Well, if you need it on digital, if you need a hard copy, and I definitely recommend everyone check this book out. And I think there's a little bit of something for everyone. I know a lot of people are interested in the banking policy strategy. Other people are interested in creating guaranteed income for life. And I think you also do a really good job of showing you know, the reader what a good blend is of both those strategies with your humor, with your stories. And congratulations on a great job. And look forward to giving these to my friends and clients, because I think they could definitely benefit from it.
Well, thank you, Eric. It's been a fun little journey, and I am a little bit relieved now that that chapter, as you can say, of my life is complete, and so now I can enjoy the book like everybody else. Thank you for allowing me to come on and talk about this tonight, and certainly look forward to any other questions that anybody may have about the book or the content going forward.
Thank you for listening to the Wealth Foundation podcast. The contents of this podcast are for informational and educational purposes only and not to be viewed as advice. Results may vary, and listeners are encouraged to seek professional financial advice. To learn more or to submit a question, please visit www.thewealthfoundation.org or call 844-OWN-BANK. That's 844-696-2265. Find us on your favorite social media by searching for #TheWealthFoundation.